So we're going to open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we just thank you for the people of God. Lord, we thank you because you've made us a family, Lord. And I love that we love being together, and I love that we love interacting with each other. Lord God, you did that, Lord God. You made us one spirit, Lord, and we just continue to pray that you would keep us in the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for another Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray you don't just hover above us, but fall on us, Lord God. Infuse us, Lord, as we study your word, Lord God. Father, we don't come here just out of habit or out of ritual, oh Lord, or out of tradition or even out of religion, Lord. We come because we want more of the living God. Father, we want more of the bread of life. We want more of your word in us, Lord God. So I pray that as the word comes forth, Lord God, not just in this room, but in all the rooms of this building, Lord God, in the sanctuary, Lord God, I pray that it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that you have sent it forth to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to continue in our lesson, The Lord of Glory. And, you know, we're going to be doing the second part of knowing this name. And, guys, I can't hear when you guys are talking, so if we can focus. I'm glad you are glad being together. But if you guys can, I got to focus. So last week we were on the Lord of Glory. We were talking about knowing this name, and we talked about that there are different levels of glory, that there is a glory on planet Earth, you know, and we've all seen the glory of planet Earth from the sunset to the Grand Canyon to, oh boy, even the canyon down in Canyon City. What is it called?
Royal Gorge.
My God, it just slipped my mind that quick. To the Royal Gorge, all the beauty that we see. There's a glory on planet Earth, and then there's a glory of heaven. You know, the glory that you see with the holy angels, and there's a glory there. And then there is a glory that is set apart just for God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they stand alone in their own glory. And it was this level of glory that Jesus decided to share with humanity. And I'm like, I'm just blown away as I was beginning to understand that he would share that highest level of glory with us. You know, that glory that was within himself, he is sharing with us. So we saw that there's different levels of glory. And we're learning how to understand that glory, how to live within that glory. We talked about that in him. There is light and there is no darkness at all. And sometimes it's hard for us to conceive how in the world can we be in him and him in us when there is a darkness in us. And then we understand the power. It's because of the power that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is so powerful that it can cover our sin so that we can dwell within his glory. Do you get that? I mean, do you understand that his blood is so powerful that it can cover your sin so that you can dwell in him? As he's growing you up and building you up, you are covered in his blood so that you are saved and you are in him and he is in you. That is so exciting. Here we went over the words of the song, the power of the blood, and the first question was, would you be free? The whole song is about just question after question. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Well, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. It's like he's giving you this answer to the question that you don't have to be burdened down with all this stuff because we dwell within his glory. The scripture says he dwells in an unapproachable light, meaning outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot come into this light. But when you are covered in his blood, you can come into the unapproachable light, which is the glory of God. So as we continue in this segment on knowing this name, the Lord of Glory, we continue on section, it's the section that says the Holy Scriptures record. That's where we're going to begin. And it's under knowing this name, and my page numbers are different than yours. So where it says the Holy Scriptures record, that's where we're going to begin today. And the scripture here says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. And that's from John 17:24. That's the New King James Version. And we're just going to really, we're going to park here for a minute and really break down this scripture right here. Note the pieces of this most holy prayer to the Father from the Son shortly before he was to suffer and die for humanity. So let's break this down. This is so beautiful and so rich when you really look at this prayer from John 17. In the first part, Christ refers to us as they also whom you gave me. See, that struck me right there. They, meaning humanity, whom God the Father gave to the Son. Do you understand? He gave us to him. You know, it was like he is the creator. This is his planet. I don't know if you all knew that, but here's a memo. This is God's planet, okay? And everything on it is God's. So God actually gave us. He said, those also whom you gave to me, the Father creator has given us those who believe and would believe to Christ. Therefore, it was Christ's choice to do with us as he chooses. I mean, I was like, okay, we belong to him and he can do what with us how he chooses. He could discard us or he could love us and save us. It was his choice. But saving us would cost him. So it was a choice, but saving us was going to cost him something because, see, he's coming from this glory of this unapproachable light to these sinners and these people costing, saving us was going to cost him something. And thank you, Jesus, he chose to save us. In this verse, Christ establishes his ownership of us. As we have free will, so does Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't see, that's another thing we take for granted. We take for granted that Jesus Christ has free will. I mean, think about it. If you and I have free will, if the angels have free will, Jesus has free will too. You know, so we belong to him. Number one, he has free will and he chose to suffer for us. He chose to die for us. And he continues to choose to love us and sustain us. And he chose to share his majesty with us. You see, but he chose to do all of this stuff. And he continues to do it because we're still here. You know, we are still here sustained on this planet. He could have chosen to make us his slaves, but instead he chose to call us his friends. Boy, if you have your Bible, turn to John 15:13-16. It records verses 13 and 16. John 15:13-16 records, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, he says, because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You did not choose me. I chose you. There it is, right in the word. You did not choose me. I chose you. See, we need to know the status, our status, because sometimes I think human beings just don't understand their status in the universe, because I think we think we're all that. We're all arrogant. We don't even know our status. That you were chosen, okay, to live, okay. You don't have just a right to live. You were chosen to live. You were chosen to exist. And Jesus Christ says it here. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Remember from the beginning, he gave you all to me. So, and I chose you. I chose to do all this for you. So when you go to the Father, he will give you what you ask if you ask in my name. Do you understand? You got to understand the status, the setup of how we are in the universe, you know, because I think that brings us down a notch or two. Sometimes we get all arrogant, but we got to understand, you know, that we are living and we exist on mercy and grace, you know, because he chose to do what he did for us. And even when it cost him, sometimes it really gets me. You know, sometimes we do stuff for people as long as it doesn't cost us anything. Okay, you can stay, you know, you can stay in the guest house, you know, because that, you know, we don't even use that house. But he chose to do something for us when it was going to cost him. You know, it was going to cost him agony and pain. So that's the first part that God gave us to him. The second part, Christ makes his desire known to his Father that they, he says, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold, see my glory which you gave me. Wow. Christ acknowledges before the Father that his glory came from the Father, but he chooses to share it with those, with us, who would believe in him through his sacrifice that was now at hand. Oh, wow. You can see the scripture for that in Hebrews 2:10. There has never been or ever will be a greater prayer of love than this. The Son asking the Father to share his glory with mankind. So here it is right here. I told you, he gave us the highest level of glory, and he's asking the Father. Because, see, everything came from the Father. The Father, you know, and Jesus is talking to him and like, Father, you know, I want to share my glory with them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to die for them. But before I do this, I just want to ask. I want to share my glory with them, Father. And he's asking this of the Father. And then in the final piece of this scripture, not even the whole prayer. We're just talking about these scriptures here. Christ reminds the Father of his love for him. You know, that's interesting. I was like, why? You know, he goes right into this, because you love me, right? Because you you love me. Wow. His love, a love that the Father has for him since before the world was. Why would Christ move to this reminder of love in his prayer? It is as if he's saying, Father, since you love me, please do this for me. Accept the ones that I love into our glory, the ones that I'm going to die for. Do you get that? I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there, you know, dealing with your father. Sometimes the father's upset, you know, at somebody, and you're like, you jump in there. Wait a minute, Daddy, please, don't do it, Daddy. Don't, wait, you know, I love him, Daddy. I love him. don't hurt him. I know he messed up, but Daddy, please. That's what Jesus is doing. I know, Father. Father, because you love me, can we share the glory with them? You know, because, you know, can we just take a little pinch of glory and give it to them, you know? And I just love that, what's in this scripture, that he's asking this. The Father knew that we deserve death. Therefore, we see the Son, the one the Father has loved from the beginning, interceding for us. Because Jesus reminds the Father, listen, you love me from the very beginning of everything, you love me. To understand the gravity of this prayer, you must remember that the world was destroyed 2 times before by the hand of God. Yes, it was. Once with Lucifer. Remember, I saw Satan fall like a lightning bolt to the earth. That's what they think happened to the dinosaurs. That when Satan was hit the earth, that there was a cataclysmic event, you know, an extinction level event, they call it, that happened when Satan was thrown to the earth, you know, and then it happened again in Noah's day when the whole world was covered with water. See, God, this has happened 2 times before, so I said, okay, I can understand Jesus' prayer a little better now. Like, Father, because I'm here, please accept them, Lord, you know, I'm going to do this for them. You know, we see that he's destroyed, the world has been destroyed 2 times before by the hand of God. And both times it was because of sin. Both times it was because of sin, Lord. And we stand today with a world full of sin once again. So thank God for Jesus Christ, because it is our only way of escape. It is our only way of escape. And that's what he was accomplishing here in this prayer in John 17. He's accomplishing that this, I know, Father, is the only means of escape for humanity. I know it is. You know, and it's coming again, folks. It's coming again. The world's destruction of the world by the hand of God is coming again. The Bible talks about it. So it's coming again. So Jesus is coming. It's like, okay, I got to find a way of escape for these ones that I love, Father. So he's setting all this stuff up for us. The next point says Christ was putting everything in place for us before the Father, the Creator, at the time of his death. For it would be the power of the Father that would raise him when he accepted the sacrifice of his shed blood for our sins. Everything was going to be on the Father, because Jesus was going to the cross and he was going to die. And it was up to the Father to raise him. It was up to the Father to accept the sacrifice of his shed blood. Remember when Jesus rose and he said, he told Mary not to touch him because he had not yet ascended to his Father, because he was taking the sacrifice of his blood up to the Father for the sins of man. So the Father had to accept that sacrifice if humanity was going to be saved. If any scriptures could stand out as the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, it's these scriptures right here. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ as he puts things in place for his beloved humanity. Are you getting that? If we were to be saved, the Father would have to accept the sacrifice, the shed blood of the Son, if we were to be saved. In addition, this scripture also depicts Christ's desire for us to understand the splendor of his person and so more fully appreciate the marvel of the love that compelled him to lay aside his glory and splendor to come down to us. This is from our book. Yeah, and it really breaks it down that this is what he came from. All this glory, this inapproachable light, to come down to suffer and die for us. Christ wants you to know that he laid aside all his glory for you, because this understanding of his love will heal your heart. It heals our heart. Don't you understand? When you are loved, it heals your heart. I mean, we've all been through that, where we've been hurt and we've been wounded. You know, and who do we go to? We go to the people we love. We go to the people that we believe love us. You know, I said, if nobody else on this planet loves me, I know my mama loves me. If nobody else on the planet. You know, and that was a comfort to me. You know, to know. You know, you see the children. You know, when they get hurt, where do they run? To mama or to papa. You know, write to them, because when you are in the arms of someone you love, when you understand the love of Christ, it heals us. That's why people come to the altar weeping, because they're healing from the wounds and the hurts of this world. So many of us, so many acts of sin by humankind come from a lack of love, or the belief that they are love, that one is love. Hate is the opposite of love, and it breeds violence and it breeds destruction, whereas love breeds healing and saving and redemption. You know, so when we know how much he loved us, when we understand the glory, the Lord of glory coming down and die for us, it heals us. It heals us. You know, and as you look at the opposite of love, the hate, when someone is full of hate, oh my goodness, they're just destructive. Everything comes out of their mouth is poison, you know, just being destructive. Why? Because that hate, that's within them. But then love comes. As I said, you throw love at hate. You throw love at hate. That's the only way you can deal with hatred. You know, that's why the scriptures teach us so diligently, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. You know, you haven't been taught that way, it says, that you throw love at hate. I know it's the hardest thing sometimes in our humanness. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us to throw love at snide comments and hateful remarks. But we throw love at it, and it dissipates. Love is more powerful than hate on any day. On any moment, love is more powerful than hate. You know, so Jesus Christ knew that, and he wanted us to know how much he loves us and loved us. I love that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved," past tense, "the world that he gave," past tense, "his only son." You know, because when you realize how much you have been loved, it heals us. It brings us to a greater place in glory. It is the great love of Christ that brings us to the cross. It is knowing that the King of Kings died for us. The scripture teaches us, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." That's what he did. He united us with him. He made us a part of him so that we are now seated with him in the heavenly realms. So God can appoint to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all the future ages and show his grace toward us. You know, God, this is God's glory. We are God. You see why you're God's glory? Because he can point to you and say, "Hey, look at what we did. Look at what has happened. Look at what has happened in Karen's life. Look at what, you remember where she went? Look at where she is." That's God's glory being shown. And the scripture says that he points to you. God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And that's Ephesians 2:6-7. And I put this picture in your handout. And the caption is, "As a king, he wore a different crown." That's our king, folks. That's our king. And every time I look at that picture, I remember whose I am and who I am and what he did for me. You know, that he was a humble king, you know, and he calls me to do that, to be humble too, because I follow him. This is my savior here. This is the one who I follow. So as a king, he wore that different crown. You know, it is amazing. You know, the more I learn about Jesus Christ, the more I'm amazed at him and the things that he has done and how he calls us to follow him. I mean, with this concept of a crown of thorns as his crown is so foreign to us. We see kings as wearing a crown full of jewels and, you know, and all of this, and to see this kind of king. But this is the king that saved the world. This is the king that saved the world. So the next point on our lesson says, his desire is that we share in his glory, regardless of our positions in society or our past sins and situations. His fulfilled plan was that in hiding his glory, he would bring us to glory. You get it? He hid his glory so he could bring us to glory. As the scripture has said, "For God, whom and through whom everything was made, chose," there's that word again, "to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation." Wow, Hebrews 2:10. Boy, that he chose again to bring us into glory, and now he is our leader, and he is fit to bring us to bring us into our salvation. In contrast to Christ, the glory of this world is reserved only for those with special status. People rarely share their glory, but heap it all on themselves. But our King of Glory chose to bring us into his glory. You see how different he's just from the east far. He's just so different from us. I mean, it's like when we get our glory, we just walk around with our glory. Well, yes, I've got this and I've got that and I've got my degree and I've got my house and I've got my car and I've got my big job and I've got my and I've got my. That's how we are. Whereas he took it all off. He took it all off and came down and was born in a stable, in a cow's feeding trough, so that he could share his glory, which is the greatest glory of any glory, with us. You see how amazing? I mean, I'm amazed that he would do that. But that's why he did that. Christ's love, Christ's holiness and majesty is so beautiful to us. It's like nothing we have ever beheld before. It's so different from the ugliness of this world. This is why his majesty stands out, and this is why his majesty endures. You understand why his glory doesn't fade? I keep saying it, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to quote that poet, over 2,000 years have come and gone, and he still remains the central figure of the human race, Jesus Christ. You can't bury him. You can't bury his glory. Because it's true glory. As I said, when we said at the very introduction of this lesson, if either you have majesty or you don't. And he has majesty. He has the greatest majesty. You can't bury majesty. You can't bury glory because it's like it comes shining through. You ever seen the sun come shining through some of those clouds sometimes? And even though those clouds are trying to get in front of the sun, all that sun needs a little hole and just... You see the glory of the sun coming through. Because even though those clouds are there, honey, the sun is going to be the sun. And I'm going to shine. You cannot stop me from shining. No, yeah, you can bring some dark clouds in front of the wave for a while, but as soon as there is a hole, I'm coming. And that's the way Jesus is in our life. I just want you to keep that analogy in your mind when you're going through something. Yeah, you might have a dark cloud, but honey, let me tell you, a hole is coming, honey. And that glory of the Lord will come shining through. As we understand the gift of Christ's glory, we see everyone the same, and we treat each other without partiality and with respect as children of God. The scripture says, therefore, as a community of believers, I'm sorry, this is from the book, therefore, as a community of believers, we are not to distinguish between different levels of earthly glory at the expense of anyone who lacks special graces, gifts, or resources. This is from our book, page 159, and it just talks about how we've got to understand this glory concept. Because we got to stop looking at this outside glory stuff. We look at this outside glory. We look at the glory of the earth. You got to get past the glory of the earth and see the glory of God. You know, I'm just so moved. I was there's this movie out by Mother Teresa called The Letters. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's just a really incredible, powerful movie about this little nun, you know, that, you know, went into the poverty-stricken areas of India where the lepers were and where all these people that nobody wanted to be around, and that's where she went. And it was interesting how they were telling her story, and she wasn't even appreciated when she went. You know, here she was out there. She went to the hospital for a while and so she could learn how to do medical care. So she went and she stayed in the hospital for a few months learning how to deliver babies and do all these things, and then she went into the deepest, most poverty-stricken areas of India. And she worked and she helped. And you know, the people didn't even appreciate her because she was this nun, this Catholic nun that believed Jesus was Lord. And they didn't worship Jesus, you know, and they knew she did, you know, and she didn't even try to preach. She just went in and she blessed them and she gave what she could and she brought supplies to them and she gave them medical care. It was just an amazing story. You know, how this woman showed the glory of Christ in her life. You know, they showed her the personal struggles she had, how she struggled with different things. And, you know, and I'm like, but yet she got up every day and she showed the glory of God. And to look at this woman, they didn't think she was much. In fact, they said, yeah, you can go on. In fact, I think they sent her to India just to get her out of the way because they thought she wasn't going to amount to much. So they just sent her to, we're going to send you to Calcutta, you know. And the glory of the Lord shone in that woman's life. You know, didn't have any much at the beginning, no resources. Nobody was, she was out there by herself. She didn't have a troop of soldiers protecting her. She was just out there, just shining Christ's glory in her life. It was just amazing as you read her story. And then as she started to get attention, the media, you know, see, when the glory of God is shining in your life, guess what? The people are going to take notice. What does the book of Daniel says? Them that know their God shall be made strong and do exploits. And exploits are things that are newsworthy. So they started paying attention to this little lady and started coming along and just kind of watching her. And, you know, and she got some TV coverage. And then everybody in the world knew about this little Mother Teresa that was sitting out there. And after she got money, she never left. She still stayed in those little poverty-stricken areas of India, just ministering to people. It was amazing until the end of her life. That's what she did. You know, they made her a saint down the road and stuff like that. But again, I just saw her as a perfect example of showing God's glory. You know, boy, I'm like, Lord, can I shine just a little bit like that? Can I show God's glory where I am? Am I showing your glory to people? You know, they didn't think she was much because we always look at that outward appearance. But she had something. She had the glory of God in her life. You know, do we have the same thing? Are we showing the glory of God in our life? Do people see that glory in our life? So we want to look at that. What is real glory? James 2 and 1 says, my dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? If you are, if you are truly adorned in his glory, this is my comment, if you are truly adorned in his glory, then you must love and respect everyone. If you're truly adorned in the glory of God, because God will direct you to different places and different people. I was, somebody sent me something on my Facebook wall about Beth Moore and the hairbrush. I don't know who did that. Yeah, okay, thanks. And that was kind of an interesting story about Beth Moore and the hairbrush and how she was led to brush this man's hair that was so old and rickety in the airport. And, you know, again, you know, looking beyond someone's outward appearance and just being obedient to God and just brushing somebody's hair, you know, showing the glory of the living God. It's not going to be on the big stage, folks. Sometimes we think it's going to be on the big stage and then I'm showing the glory of God. Not so. Jesus preached on a mountainside. He sat on a rock and preached on a mountainside. The people were sitting in the dirt. But the glory of God shone in the earth. Folks, we've really got to get this glory because I believe with all, if we would just show the glory of God, this world would change. This world would be different if we would just show the glory of God in our lives and what we do. The next comment has to do with, says this, kabod, the Old Testament Hebrew word for glory, focuses more on the idea of weightiness than brightness, and that's from our book. First section says, it is appropriate that the word kabod is used to describe Christ's glory, looking more at the weight of his glory rather than the brightness of his glory, because he did not shine bright in our eyes when he walked on the earth. He looked plain and ordinary. But the life that he lived and the death that he died held tremendous, incomparable weight. And his life and death was unforgettable, and therein laid his glory. Are you getting that? He wasn't fancy. Jesus was not living in a fancy house. You know, he wasn't the big, bright, handsome Jesus. I know most of the movies, they show the big, bright, handsome Jesus. You know, I'm not sure he was that handsome. You know, I'm sure he was, you know, the Bible says he was, I'm trying to use the terminology that he's using from Isaiah 53. I'm trying to think of it. He was rejected by men, but there was another word that they used. I don't know if they said comely, you know. So he wasn't that attractive. You know, people were not necessarily attracted to him, but it was his life that drew people. They came because of the miracles. They came because they heard his teaching. So there was the weight of his glory was in his life and how he lived and how he died. That's where his glory lay. That's where the weight of his glory was. The next point says, in the same way, the glory of Christ in your life does not lie in your outward appearance. It lies in your life before God and people. Does your life reflect kabod, a weightiness of glory, over an appearance of glory? And that's a question we have to ask. Does my life have a weight of glory to it and not just the appearance? Am I all sparkly and shiny, but inside there's really no weight to it? You know, like a piece of aluminum foil, you know, it's shiny, you know, but if you put it in the wind, it would just blow away. There's nothing to it. So what does our life look like? Does the glory he has given you stand out on the hard days, on the tempting days? Does it have weight? Does it have kabod? Does my life have kabod? You know, and that's something that you have to take to the Lord and pray about. You know, I have to take, Lord, does my life, I was reading this, I'm like, Lord, does my life have kabod? Does it have weight? Or am I just shiny? You know, what is really going on in my life? The next point says, here the concept of worth or worthiness is related to weight, as with scales measuring the value of precious materials or stone, rather than on how brightly these metals or gems shine. Again, from our book, gold is initially valued by its weight. You know, how much is weight? Its shine comes later, after it's been put through the fire. But initially, you know, it's not all shiny. It's in this ore and stuff, in this ore form, and it's not that shiny. But it only starts to shine when it's been put through the fire. So again, I ask you, do you have kabod in your life? Or are you just this shiny thing with no weight to it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18 teaches us this same concept of glory or kabod. These scriptures encourage us that our outward man may not appear so great to others or even ourselves, but our outward man is growing in glory or kabod every day. And I'm telling you, just like that gold has to go through the fire, folks, your kabod is being, it's weighted. The weight of your kabod comes through the fire. I'm telling you, it comes through the fire. You know, just like gold, it shines through the fire. The weight of your kabod is going to come through the fire. If you're going through, rejoice, as the apostle says. You know, I didn't get when the apostle was talking about I glory in tribulation, but I get it now. Because when he went through, he got more kabod, he got more weight. Because he went through with Jesus Christ and he came through it better and more shiny, you know, than ever. You know, that he was going through every day. It's important that we do not lose our focus on our kabod or our inner glory and the work of the Lord in our souls and spirits. When you lose that focus, this is when you lose heart, and the enemy has an opportunity to steal away your kabod with the enticements of sin and pride. I'll tell you, there we are again. We always have to visit the altar of humility again, because I tell you, nothing steals your kabod away faster than pride. Remember, his weight was in his life. It wasn't in how good he looked and how good he, you know, it was in his life. So again, folks, we got to visit the altar of humility and lay down our pride if we want the kabod to really be enhanced in our life. For many of us, our kabod is lost to pride. Our kabod fades when our pride takes hold of our tongue and takes hold of our behavior. You know, so again, when you go through, when you just keep your mouth shut, I mean, that's going through. Just by keeping your mouth shut, you're going, you know, you're going through with Jesus. He knows what you want to say. But just by keeping your mouth shut, you get a greater weight. You're adding to your kabod and your weightiness. You know, you're becoming, you know, glorious and shining. 2 Corinthians 4, just 16 and 18, just reading those scriptures. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, hallelujah, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. A light affliction. And sometimes we wouldn't think of it as a light affliction. He calls it a light affliction, yes. Compared to the glory that is working in you, it is a light affliction. And it's for a moment, because this life is just for a moment, guys. The older I get, the more I realize that. That this life is just a moment. Time is just going by. And I realize that this life is just for a moment. And then verse 18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let God do that eternal work in your life, folks. That is what's most important. This thing is going to pass. Your life's going to pass you by. And you don't want to look back and say, I spent it all on the temporal and the temporary and on the shiny things that had no weight to them, instead of spending it on the kabod, the weightiness of glory. I brought in this book, and I probably brought it, the book Final Quest. Excellent book. Boy, when it, again, I've been talking about Rick Joyner, because Rick Joyner has visions of things, and he writes them down, things that God shows him. And Final Quest was, I think, was one of his first books, if not the first book, where he talks about this vision of climbing a mountain. And as he's climbing this mountain, he's going through all these different things. And the more he climbs, he's got on this armor. And the more he climbs, the shinier and the shinier his armor gets. And as he gets, as he continues to climb the mountain, he actually gets to a place where he's coming closer and closer to Christ. And he gets to this throne room. You know, but let me just say this. I'm going to put this point. As he's going through and his armor has become shinier and shinier, it gets so shiny that he can't see anymore, because the brightness or the glory from the armor is so bright that he can't see anymore. So he is offered a cloak of humility. And this cloak of humility is, it's dirty, dingy, and he's got to cover his shiny armor, if he would, with this dingy cloak. But he puts on this cloak because he can't see any further unless he douses the light of the glory. I mean, it's just amazing how he puts this together. He has to douse the glory, because sometimes we can get so much going for us, and sometimes God will call us to put on a cloak of humility, because you can't even see where you're going anymore because of all the glory and all the accolades. And he does this. And as he comes into, he climbs this mountain, he gets into the throne room. And as he gets into the throne room that's leading to the Christ, the throne room is huge. And he's walking through different areas of the throne room trying to get to Christ. And he sees an angel, and the angels bow. He says, well, why are you bowing to me? He says, because you have on the same cloak as our master. I mean, it wasn't about the shiny armor. It was about the dingy. I mean, really. You have on the same cloak as the master. So that's why we bow to you. And he's walking through, and he gets to where the thrones are. And he says, he sees the throne of Christ, and he sees all these thrones around him. He sees so the apostles and different things like this. And, you know, I'm glad, you know, we have a room full of women today, and it's really interesting, because what I'm about to say is just so incredible, because he said, there was a lot of thrones around Christ. And he said, and a lot of the thrones that were around Christ, I could tell were occupied by moms, mothers. It blew me away. We're occupied by mothers. And this is a vision. He says, writing down. I mean, this is a guy who wrote this. A guy wrote this. You know, and that he said this. That it was occupied by moms. You know, that were sitting in these thrones around Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, I get it. I get it. Because sometimes, you know, because the scripture says the first shall be last and last shall be first. And sometimes it's the moms. You know, if I had to look at any, as I look at families and how families are set up, often it's the mamas. It's the mamas. They're the caregivers. They're the ones that sacrifice. They're the ones that, you know, no, I'll stay home with the sick one. I'll do this. I'll do that. No, I won't go this time. No, you let him have it. No, I won't get the dress. Get buy the baby some shoes. You know, I mean, that's just the way of moms. You know, and I thought that was so interesting when he said that. Because sometimes moms don't realize that they've got this kabod going on. That they got this kabod bin, if you would. And every time they make a sacrifice, and every time God is adding to that kabod bin, the weight and glory. And I thought it was just interesting when he said that he saw that throne room. And when he got to that throne room and he saw those thrones, those many thrones around Jesus Christ, that there were all these mamas there that were occupying these thrones. And I thought that was really interesting. And those of you that may not be moms, I mean, if you love somebody, you know, because I think as women, we just have this natural nurturing. You know, if I see a child, whether it's my child or not, man, if that child needs some help, I'm going to love on that child, you know, whether it's mine or not, you know, because that's just innate within us as women that we do that. And that's the weight, because often you do things that nobody else sees. Nobody else knows. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're taking care of things, you know. So again, just an encouragement on that this kabod is something that's really real, and we want to look at it, we want to focus on it, because that's where the glory would lie. And finally, the last point says, the Lord outweighs our every opponent. The Lord outweighs our every opponent. No enemy can withstand the force of Christ's person or the glory of his greatness as we take our stand in him. And this is from our book. Not our flesh, not our pride, but we want to be in him. So as you stand in his glory, no enemy can defeat you. As you stand in his glory, as you stand in his kabod, I know it seemed like they got over on you. And I know it seems like they told you off and got away with it. You know, but I'm telling you, nobody gets away with anything. Can you tell? Can I tell you something? Nobody, the Lord taught me that. Nobody's getting away with anything. You just need to believe that and know that. That he'll take care. But what I require of you is that you stay in me. Stay in my glory. Don't step out of my glory to take care of things, because you will fail. But stay in his glory, and he will take care of everything. No one defeats his glory. Any questions, comments?
I remember one thing that really has stuck to me. I'll go back to my dad. Was already about 75, 76 years old. I used to witness to him and stuff. But then Pastor Brummett, for those who knew Pastor Brummett, he went to go witness to my dad and talk about the love of Christ to him and everything else, and really spend some time with him and talk to him. After Pastor Brummett left the house, my dad just went in the front room and dropped his head with, I knew the Spirit touched him. I knew that God was doing something with this man. And my dad was a real rebel in his younger days. But that day, I know what Pastor Brummett told my dad, hit the heart. Well, he went with the Lord. I know he did, because I seen it. Because when I at the funeral, when I was he always wore his hat, and at the funeral I was taking down his hat to put it into the casket. In the casket, and I seen for the first time such a peace and such a light-complected person, and all the harshness was removed. And that's when the Lord let me know. I said, oh my God. And that's when the Lord let me know, this is the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And I thought to myself, and my brother even seen it, the oldest brother seen it, and he says, if I look as good as my dad in that accident, I want what he has.
Wow.
And I said, that was the glory of God.
The glory of God. Amen.
And that's the first time I could actually say, I seen for the first time the glory of God.
Yeah.
He looked so handsome.
Yeah.
And so different and so neat. I mean, it didn't even look like him.
Wow.
And they laugh because I tell them now, he looked better
Hallelujah.
Dead than alive.
Hallelujah.
Not no disrespect, but that's what it was. He looked better dead than alive in all the years I knew my father.
Yes.
But what a beautiful thing
the
to see
God.
The glory of God
Hallelujah.
Right in front of you.
Hallelujah.
And God lets you know this is the glory of God.
Hallelujah. And I can't help but quote Martin Luther King, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Amen.
Judy and I went for lunch at Chick-fil-A, and on your phone, you know how you get those alerts?
Mm-hmm.
She just, very easy, not thinking nothing, just went into prayer. The lady in the booth next to her,
yes,
the waitress,
yes,
were always going, amen. It was, yes, just a natural thing. She didn't, yes, think about it, and the prayer was beautiful. Then,
wow,
as we got ready to leave, she stopped and said, what are you stopping for? Well, the Lord told me to do something. There was a man sitting there with hair, and the waitress said, well, he's homeless. But before she said he was homeless, Judy took out, I don't know how much money, and went and gave it. He was reading his Bible too. So it just reminded me when you said the glory, it's just a natural,
yes,
thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And that's it. That's it. It's not the big showy on stage,
no,
stuff. It's just every day just walking in his glory with,
yeah,
the people that you confront every day, the people that are around you every day.
Yeah.
Are you, is the glory shining? Is the kabod?
Yeah.
Is it present?
Anybody,
yeah,
would just,
yes,
thing that she,
yes,
did.
And if you're not feeling it, don't feel bad. Pray for it. He's got it for you.
Yeah.
He went through all of that suffering and death so you could have it. So just ask him, Lord, I want kabod. Give me some kabod, Jesus. You know, I'm all about myself every day, Lord Jesus. Give me some kabod. I remember the days when it was just about me, you know, and what I needed to get done. But the Lord is showing me how to stop and go do this and stop. But I got this. Stop and go to this. Now, I don't even talk back anymore. I used to talk back. I don't talk back to him anymore. I just go and do it because that's what you're supposed to do. You know? Anybody else?
It's obedience.
It's
really.
Yes.
It's obedience. If brother
just obedience.
If brother wouldn't have went.
Yes.
It was obedience. Judy,
yes,
obedience.
Yes.
God speaks,
yes,
and you go.
Yes.
A lot of times we don't do that. We,
yes,
just say, I hate to get
it. It'll be all right, yes.
You know, that little thing, but,
yes,
you know, that, it's all about obedience.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Who are you pointing at? Joanne. Oh.
I think, you know, when people, I've had the experience where when I was taking care of my parents, actually, there were days, well, I'll speak about a specific time. There was a day when I was not supposed to go to hospice. It was, my sister was there, and I was sitting having coffee with my husband at the breakfast table, and all of a sudden it was just like, I said, I got to get up and go to hospice and get my dad. And I had no, I mean, I wasn't supposed to go because, you know, I had been there in like 4 or 5 days, and it was my sister, she was going to take her turn. And all of a sudden it was like, I got to do this. And so I just got dressed and I went. And there was a reason for it, because my mom was trying to leave. She was trying to go, and my dad was there, and you know, the release had not come from him yet. Mm-hmm. And so I had to get him out of there. So I went to the hospice and I told him, Dad, I said, let's go. I said, I'll take you to get you cleaned up. We'll take you to get a meal and everything. And he said, okay. But the Holy Spirit was in control of this,
yes,
this whole movement.
Yes.
And it was like, later, you know, I went to kiss my mom before I left, and I could only get this close to her. And I thought, well, okay, I couldn't, you know. But I didn't think anything about it at the time. And then I took my dad, and we weren't gone maybe 3-5 minutes. My sister called, and she says, Mom passed.
Wow.
But that happens because they were so close, and my dad, he wanted her to stay, and he didn't want her to go. But it happens so often times that when people are ready to go and the other person is there, mm-hmm, the bond is so strong, mm-hmm,
wow,
that they can't go.
Yep.
So, you know, the Holy Spirit coordinated that and directed that whole thing.
Wow.
And I look back at it and I go,
wow,
I wasn't supposed to go that day. But, you know, and that's not the first time that that's,
yes,
happened, but those are the specific,
wow,
kinds of things. And the when you it just happens. And you have to listen.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
I'm telling you, I mean, can you imagine what would happen? What would happen if we were all walking in that kabod? I mean, can you imagine what would happen tomorrow in Pueblo if we walked in it? You know, if it spread like wildfire, because it does spread. You know, when you walk in that, you know, other people catch on to it. You know, especially people that are of the faith, you know, they catch on to it. Hey, you know what? That's what Jesus looks like. That's what Jesus looks like. They see it and they start walking in it. And I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord would fill your heart so much. Because when you feel that glory, oh my goodness, it is a wonderful thing, is it not? It is a wonderful thing. When you feel that glory of the Lord, you have a step, you know, you don't get up depressed and hanging and, you know, oh, it's Monday morning. You don't even feel that when you got kabod. You're like, okay, what's on the agenda today, Jesus? Here we go. And you get up and you're ready for the day, just excited to see what is the Holy Spirit going to do today. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, praying for it. And yeah, and praying, you know, that's so important that you pray and invite the Holy Spirit into the day, into the situation. You know, you don't have to stress over the meeting. You don't have to stress over tomorrow morning.
I'm not stressed.
I'm stressed.
I'm
stressed. But, you know, just inviting the Holy Spirit into the whole situation. And let him coordinate, like Joanne was talking about. Let him coordinate. He will coordinate stuff and just work it out. Like, okay, that went rather smooth. I was expecting, you know, to have to corral this one and do that one and coordinate that. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will just take over.
You know, Sister Karen, I was at the Parkview Hospital one day with Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this guy, I guess he had the one-day surgery. And he was sitting at the bench there in the front, and I was in the little cafe there, and I was watching him while they put him out on the bench without tying his shoes. And he was waiting for a cab. And I know the Holy Spirit told me, go help him.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, and I was there sitting, and I thought, I says, okay, you know, I'll go and help him tie his shoes. So I was down on my knees. I says, could I help you? I asked the guy. I says, because he couldn't do it, you know, and they put him up that way. So I was tying his shoes and on my knees tying his shoes. And this is not to boast or to...
Yes.
This is to glorify God, just mm-hmm. being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you want me to tie your shoes? I says, and he, please, please. So I did, you know. Mm-hmm. Here comes Clarence and he finds me on my... He finds me on my knees, tying this man, stranger, completely stranger. He says, what are you doing? I says, I don't know. I says, I know this guy was having a hard time to tie his shoes, and I just wanted to help him.
Yeah. Oh, Clarence shakes his head. I don't know about you. But it was so neat that when God speaks to the heart, just do it.
Yes.
Just do it.
Yes.
And you could see the face that other person gets. Because you helped him.
Amen. And you know, even the people like Clarence that may say, hey, you know, that's kind of bizarre. But I'm telling you, that act will minister to them later on. I have found that happen, that people say, you know, I didn't get what you did. But, you know, later on, the Lord really showed me something in that. Because the kabod is the kabod. You can't, you know, the glory is going to come out. You know, and people, you know, even though they look at him like, oh, that's strange, that glory hit them. You know, and it's going to minister to them one way or another. Did I see another hand?
Elijah asked Elijah for the anointing. Well, glory comes in the anointing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. The glory comes in the anointing. So that as we pray, we ask God for that, you know, so that we can move into our day. I hope you guys are excited about Monday morning. Okay, I want you all to be excited about tomorrow morning, okay, and getting up and just going out and doing what we need to do. We're going to be excited about Monday morning. Yay! Yeah. Praise God for Monday morning, okay? Amen. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray, Wilderness. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your glory, Lord God. It overwhelms us that you would choose to share your glory with us, Lord God, that you would choose to cover us in your blood and then share your glory with us, Lord God, just amazes us and blows us away. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that we would understand the value and the worth, Lord God, of your glory, Lord God, that we would seek after the weighty glory, the kabod, oh God, and not the showy glory of this world, but we would seek after the weighty glory, Lord God, in our lives and what we do, Lord God, and how we minister, Lord, that we're not ministering so we can have an audience and people can see what we do, but Lord, we will do what we do in secret. We would do what we do, Lord, privately, Lord God. We don't speak of it, Lord God, but you hold, oh Lord, our weight and glory in your hand, Lord God. Father, we just thank you. Lord, yes, Lord, we say we thank you for Monday morning, Lord. Remind us of kabod tomorrow morning, Lord God, as we go out to the world. Lord, let us shine your glory, Lord God, because we live in a world that is full of darkness and it's full of sin, it's full of sadness, Lord God. I pray that we would go out into the world as children of the living God and let your light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, Lord God. So we just thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name, the Lord of glory. In Jesus' name, amen.